It's wonderful to have you all part of our special Mother's Day service. How many of you enjoying those cinnamon rolls? I think some of you are taking some and enjoying them. I hope you continue to help yourself and to any of the refreshments while we have our learning time. We try to take a significant learning time every Sunday so we can hear from God. It's so important in our lives to hear from Him. We're in this series on relationships. In fact, this is part four of the four-part series. We're talking about relationships, and you know, moms like relationships. I believe moms are oriented toward relationships. I know my mom was. She was a hub of our family. Some of your families are like that as well, where mom is this relational hub and connects with everybody in the family really well. And perhaps some of us guys don't do that as well as the moms in our family have done, or maybe some of the ladies even. Moms tend to be oriented toward relationships. I find that in my family today. Our five children are well connected to their mom. Sometimes I think they're more connected than I am to those kids. She's well connected to them. Something about relationships strikes at the heart of motherhood. And so I'm thrilled to be able to talk about something very, very important in this last of four parts or practices we're talking about with regard to relationships. Remember the first one, to build great relationships, you need to use a tool correctly. Remember that tool? What was it? Anybody can shout it out. The tool of the tongue, really. It's a very small tool, but it's a very powerful one. It holds the power of life and death, the tongue does. That is our words. And so to build great relationships, we use life-building words. In the second week, we talked about another practice that was critical to fixing broken relationships. Anybody remember what it was? It was freebie. It was a free one. It was something very free. What was it? Forgiveness. Forgiveness must be given and received in order for there to be a broken relationship repaired and restored. Forgiveness. And we all have the ability to offer it. It's a gift. And we have the ability to receive it. If we choose not to, however, often relationships will remain strained. Intention, perhaps even very broken. Well, it's pretty important to offer forgiveness, really critical. And so last week we talked about this idea of gaining relational intelligence, growing to be more intelligent relationally. I sure want to. I want to become better and better at relating to all kinds of people, not just those in my family, not just those in my work environment and social engagements, those in my neighborhood, etc. You know how it goes. I want to get better at that. And the primary relational resource that God recommends to us, as we looked at and explored that last week, was this idea of His very self. God offers us the greatest resource. Remember, we can go online and find all kinds of resources to building relationships, if it's just a couple relationship, or if it's in general case relationships in all of our lives. We can find all kinds of resources through the internet today. However, our recommendation last week was to go to the one resource that's above all resources, the very one who created us in His image as relational beings, and that's God. God's a relational being. He wants a relationship with each one of us. He really does. He cares about you. He created you. He loves you more than any person on the earth could. And He has a plan for your existence, not just here in the temporary. But when all this goes away, friends, He wants you to be with Him for eternity. That's who you really are. And that's a relationship with God. That's really what Christianity is. It's about a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. God, as we call Him, a heavenly Father, a father figure to us, relates to us and wants to relate to us as His children, as His special creation made in His image. It's very, very, very important. But He also wants us to have horizontal relationships that are great, that are getting better if they're not so good, that are, you know, renewing themselves if they've been flattened in some way, because life can tend to flatten our relationships. It can mess us up. And God wants that to be restored. So He gives us some intelligence, some know-how, even some skill sets to build better relationships, to grow those relationships. And we talked last week about how this idea of being filled with the Spirit. Other, parallel passages talk about we're letting the message of Jesus dwell in us richly, you know, overflowing. We're getting so much of God that it is actually changing our personality. It's changing our relational dynamic. Friends, this is very real, and trust me, it's helped me immensely over a number of years, and I still seek out how can I be a better relator to people as well as to God by just devouring whatever God is and what He's given to me, how He reveals Himself to us. Can I get better at that? I believe I can. And the greatest resource I don't want to neglect, even though I might go online and find a resource that helps me relate, you know, different skills that you can learn through the internet and some intelligence there. But the big one is this one that God offers Himself, His very will for our lives. So we don't want to ever neglect this one right here. The will of God, the Spirit of Him who's in me. I want to fill myself up more with His Spirit, which I'll do that as I apply more of His Word into my life. So, we're going to talk today about another important piece, and I want us to go straight to the Scripture and read it. Now, you'll have on your tables there some notes. Call it a handout. Should look like this. And the back side of this is the text or the Bible passage for this morning. I'm going to read this right now, and I would invite you to follow along. It won't be on the screens. I do put some on the screens, but I'm going to have the major part of the reading today is just be in your hand if you'd like to follow along, or just listen as I read this. This is about relationships, so mom's got their ears perked up really well. Let's check it out with them this morning. It says, and further, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And again, as I do normally, I will make some emphasis because I want something to stick out to us, and so I'll underline, I'll bold and italic. That's not what's in the Bible necessarily. It's not emphasized necessarily like I'm emphasizing it when I recopy it onto a page like this. So, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. For wives, this means submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For a husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body, the church. As the church submits to Christ, so you wives should submit to your husbands in everything. For husbands, this means love your wives, just as Christ loved the church. He gave up His life for her, to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. He did this to present her to Himself as a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. For a man who loves his wife actually shows love for himself. No one hates his own body, but feeds and cares for it, just as Christ cares for the church. And we are members of His body. As the Scriptures say, a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. This is a great mystery, but it is an illustration of the way Christ and the church are one. So again, I say, each man must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Children, this means to obey your parents. What does that go back to? It goes back to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Children, this means to obey your parents because you belong to the Lord. For this is the right thing to do. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you, and you will have long life on the earth. Fathers, this means do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. Slaves, this means obey your earthly masters with deep respect and fear. Serve them sincerely as you would serve Christ. Try to please them all the time, not just when they are watching you. As slaves of Christ, do the will of God with all your heart. Work with enthusiasm as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will reward each one of us for the good we do, whether we are slaves or free. Masters, this means treat your slaves in the same way. Don't threaten them. Remember, you both have the same master in heaven, and he has no favorites. God, we want to hear from you today. Thank you for presenting truth, for presenting relational wholeness, skills, attitudes in the written form called Scripture for us. May you have your way in our lives. Help us, God, to grow in our relationships this day. In Jesus' name, amen. And so, three observations quickly from this passage that I want us to grasp, and then we're going to dive into a particular practice that's so important and it really overarches all relationships. And it's given right here in this text that we have today. Number one observation is this: God cares about your relationships. This passage tends to prove that. He cares about each of our relationships. In this case, we have the husband and wife relationship, as well as the parent or father-children relationship, but include yourselves, moms, in that, as well as children back to parents. And then we have the slave-master. In that day, some say two out of every three people were indentured servants or slaves. Okay? And so that was a big, big issue, and we would say today a big problem at that time. I'm sure those who understood right kinds of relationships would not have, appreciated that kind of slavery at that time even, though it was different than some of the slavery of later times. But it was a reality of the day, and so within that reality, how do we work? How do we act? How do we deal with that? And so the Bible here, right, gives us some pointers to how we might do that. In our day, we would look at it and say, employer-employee. That's how we might identify or connect with this kind of relationship in our day today. So you have a boss. If you do, you can see that. Bosses, or those of you that own companies, that kind of thing, you've got a responsibility as well. Relational relationships that God cares about. Kind of like moms care about all kinds of relationships, at least from my experience and a couple of moms, two or three moms in my life, I just see moms really do care about relationships. Well, God does too. And if we can really understand that, because I remember my mom say, "Davey, don't run with the scissors." And I'd look back and say, you're taking all the fun out of life. I love running with my scissors. And what are you afraid of? I'm going to break them, Mom? You can break your scissors? Of course not, right? What is she afraid of? The scissors are going to break open me somehow. I'm going to hurt myself. So it's no different than God. He tells us and gives us some instructions for our well-being. Always, always, always. I believe if you read the Bible well, if you understand God, God's always trying to help us get better as better people, relate better, have long range, a better life. Obviously, on the eternal side of things, His goal is that we would be eternally with Him. Okay? Overcome all the sin and death and the darkness and the doom of life as we understand it today in the life hereafter. That's what God's about. He's like you as a good mom. He's like you as a good dad. And how you would want your kids to turn out. That's what God's trying to do with each of us. He cares about all those relationships that can, mess us up and have problems. We get hurt from other people and we hurt other people. God cares about that kind of thing. And so we need to understand that. Jesus is the big example of this. Jesus is God in the flesh. He's the greatest revelation of God that we have. And so Jesus, as he was hanging from the cross, he was in brutal, what we call unremitting pain. A kind of crucifixion at that time was crazy. There's probably nothing that could have ever equaled the torture engaged in the crucifixion of someone that the Romans chose to use, not against Romans, but against any foreigners that would choose to be criminals to the state of Rome, to the Roman Empire. And Jesus on the cross indicates to John, he's turned to Mary, his mother, and then he indicates to John a very close disciple of his, and he says, "Dear woman, here is your son." And then turning to John, said, "Here is your mother." He was dying on the cross for the salvation of the world, including your life and mine. He actually took a moment here. In all that pain, think about it, he took a moment to say to the people he loved, "Take care of each other." Because God cares about relationships. Right up to the very end, they're the most important thing on his mind. We talked a little bit about that last week. Relationships are much more important than all that you accumulate in this life. Accumulate, get to be a big, you know, accumulate everything. Bottom line is, when you get to the end, we're going to be thinking about relationships, not about the stuff that we get in life. And so it is a priority way up there, way up there for God. He cares about our relationships. I just want to realize that, because he cares about our wholeness, he cares about our peace, he cares about our happiness as a father would to children. Second observation is this. God's word acknowledges that relationships don't just happen. They require knowledge, skill, and work. Somebody say amen. Knowledge, skill, and work. Some of you have known, you know, it requires knowledge, skill, and work. And this actually passage indicates that to us, because he's telling us a little bit about some knowledge, a little bit about some skill, and that it's going to take a little work. In other words, our relationships don't just automatically, they're just not automatically great. We have to build them with life-building words. We have to exercise forgiveness when a relationship gets broken. We have to keep seeking the intelligence, the knowledge that's going to help us to be able to be a better relator in life. And all our relationships will serve us so well. And this passage indicates that. It would be a mistaken assumption that relationship stuff is easy. Now, I know it's easier for some people than for others. I think relationships come easier to my wife than they come to me, for example. She's just kind of more naturally extrovert. You know, she's got this wit. She's just a fun person. Relationships come easy. Not for me. You know, I got to work at it, and people got to figure me out. And what is that guy? You know, it's like some of you already, you know. It's like, figure this guy out. It don't come as easy. Lori still has to work at it, as some of you do that got it down pretty easy. It's easier for you. You still have to work at it. It's still a skill set that you may more naturally have, perhaps. But there's knowledge and skill and work involved in this. So we can't make the assumption that if it just doesn't happen well, without some hard work and some growth in skill and knowledge, that I guess it wasn't meant to be. Whoa. Now, God doesn't tell us that. Rather, God doesn't say give up. God doesn't say it wasn't meant to be. No, God says, here, do these things in these relationships, as he's listed them out in this passage anyway, right? Do these things to grow that relationship. So it's really important. Third observation. Let's go to the third one. Apparently, God, look at this one now closely. This will be the first fill-in on your notes on the opposite side there if you'd like to fill it in. Apparently, God is more concerned, note this, about what you contribute to your relationships than what you demand from them. Well, let's get this down, because we can go backwards on this verse real fast and get the wrong idea about what we're supposed to do. For example, Paul, in the writer of this passage, he didn't say to those readers that went to, we believe, at least the Ephesian church, probably to others beyond the Ephesian church, he didn't say, "Wives, get your husbands to love you." He didn't ask them to demand from their husbands to love them, did he? No. He said to the wives, "Your job is to respect your husband." He didn't say to the husbands, "See that your wives submit." You know, use your power. Press down on them. Make them submit to you. That's not an instruction from the Bible. No, it's about what do we contribute to the relationship, not what we demand from it. It's really important to see what's there and what isn't there. We're talking about right now what isn't there. These demands are not in this passage. Not at all. He didn't even say, "Parents, make your children obey." Now, I know sometimes feels like we had to, if we had to exercise a little discipline in growing up in my day, a little pat on the, you know, bottom part was important for one or two of my kids out of the five. For the others, one child, that's all I had to do was look. Every day it changed. And I was like, but for another child, oh no, it took several pats on the, you know, soft side. I want us to look at an important word in the Bible. And it's in that list there, it's the third word in on the text, the Bible passage side of your notes. It's the third word in. What is it? Submit. It's this word submit. Friends, this is the key takeaway for us this morning. This word here, submit, verse 21, submit to one another out of reverence, respect, or worship of God, of Christ. Respect. Now, submission, friends, let's face it, submission is sometimes misunderstood, or understood really, as a bad word in our culture. We make heroes of people who won't submit to anyone's authority. You've never heard Mel Gibson or Arnold Schwarzenegger talk about submitting unless it's beating the bad guys into submission, right? And we're in this age of Survivor. Have you ever watched the Survivor series? I think it's like a dozen years old now. Survivor. Their whole deal is to outplay, outwit, outlast, not submit. Okay? That's not a tactic that they use. It's not a practice in Survivor. Right? So this is kind of our cultural bent, we might say, is not to submit. Submission is seen as weakness in many cases. You're submitting, you're taking a weak position in your life. Now, every once in a while we come across things in the Bible that are like contrary to our culture's viewpoints. And God has a different perspective for us to live out than what maybe would be the main thrust or mainline perspective in the world, right? And I believe this is one of them. So let's look at submission a little bit more closely. Let's look at what it's not. Submission is not being a doormat. Somebody say amen. Not being a doormat. That's true. It's just not. The principle of submission God's calling us to is mutual. Look at that first verse, verse 21 again. What does it say there? It says, submit to one another or each other out of reverence for Christ. So it's a mutual submission that we're being called to at the head of this passage on relationships. Okay? So we get that understood right up front. This is a mutual submission that's involved here. Not where one person is in submission and the other in authority, but there's a mutual submission that somehow oversees or overarches all of the individual relationships and the roles that we have in this world. Okay? So there are if my boss tells me to do something, I'm probably going to do it, right? Because he's my authority. If God tells me to do something in the Bible, I should do it. I hope I would do it because he's the authority, my creator, ruler, and final judge. All right? So there's certainly that in our role relationships in life, and that's not neglected in this passage on relationships. But again, demand is not made from those who have an authoritative role over others who may not. We're not seeing that. Rather, at the front end of the passage, we're seeing that there's a general submission idea involved here. So let's dig into that again a little bit more. Let's ask, what's the value of authority in our lives? God created authorities. God gave us the government. They're an authority. You do what's wrong in this life, and the government might come after you through the police or whatever force that they need to correct us, right? So I see government, we see government as protection for us. Thankfully, we're able to meet here and not have mayhem Because there's order and there's authority that actually protects us. It provides great benefit to us. So authority structures are from God. He gives us authority structures in the church. He gives us authority structures in the home. He gives us authority structures in workplace environments. Because they set up structures that actually benefit us. They're of great value to us, and they help us. So accountability in this kind of way is extremely important. So we don't want to ever throw that out the door. That's what's important. So that's why there are role relationships like this. Now, look on the screen and consider some of these words you may want to write down under the behind the word submit. The word submit actually is this originally a military term. Means to rank under, come under. As it was used in the general world, it came to be a voluntary where we submit ourselves to it. An attitude of giving in, I put up there, cooperating, assuming responsibility, carrying a burden. If you remember last week, we indicated this word submitting as a word that would indicate that we would be humbly loving others. When we submit, we humbly love. It has to do with us in a relationship with other people. We're humble, and we're loving. So that could be something else you might even add to that. The contemporary English version of the translation puts it this way, to put others first. Now, submission flows, think about this now, it flows out of strength and not weakness. And Jesus is our example. Jesus knew the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and that he was returning to God. Jesus knew this. He was all-powerful. Jesus on the planet here. And yet, you know what Jesus did? He got up from a meal, he took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel around his waist, poured water in a basin, and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. The very creator of all, the most powerful being ever, washes the disciples' feet as a most humble servant would in that household. Jesus did that out of his strength. He humbled himself and submitted himself to doing the lowliest of service for his disciples, who he loved and cared for and had a great relationship with and would continue that. It's out of Jesus' place of strength that he was able to serve and subject himself to his disciples, not as a weak person that was beaten into submission. It's a voluntary act that he chose to do. He chose to do that, to submit. That's what this passage is talking about when it introduces the role relationships to have us grow in them. Philippians 2, 6 through 7, note what it says. This will be on the screen. Jesus, who being very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped or held onto, but he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. It goes on to say, that's how he served us by being our very sin sacrifice or the offering that we needed to reunite us with God the Father. John 15, 12 and 13, look what Jesus says. It's my commandment is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. Laying down one's life is about giving up, isn't it? It's what we hold more dear to us than our own life. We're giving our life up for the other. We're laying down our lives. I don't know what greater submission example than it could be for our lives than to give up our lives for someone else. How about Romans 12 and verse 10? Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another showing honor. He's not talking about relationships here and what role you're in. It could be a mom showing great honor and respect toward a grown son. It could be, you know, a spouse who's feeling a little beaten up in the relationship, honoring the other in some manner, in some way that's fitting and proper. Christian submission flows from the filling of the Spirit. This we learned last week. This idea of submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ flows out of being filled with the Spirit. Flows out of being filled up with God, by having God in us, by understanding who God is, how He would want us to relate. that helps us to be able to submit, to honor other people above ourselves. And so the Bible goes, be filled with the Spirit, speaking in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making music or melody, giving thanks and submitting. Those are all participles or ing words flowing from being filled with the Spirit of God. This is what we're able to do, and God's power helps us. This is what we learned a little last week. That's why, resources for intelligence, put God at the top of your list if you want to be able to relate better with people in our lives. All right, so we're under this dependence, you see. It comes out of, don't be drunk with wine or on wine, but be filled with the Spirit. In other words, don't be intoxicated. Don't be under the control of the spirits, but be filled with the Spirit of God, with the things of God. And thereby, we're able to have, amazing joy as expressed in psalms and singing, as well as giving. We're grateful people, and we're submitting. We relate so well to each other. So these are the kind of things. Now, I want us to consider this. I want you to picture coming under something. This is what submitting is. And so I'm going to put my Bible here and pretend this is a relationship. So I'm going to submit to this relationship. Makes sense, right? I'm coming under. That's the idea of the relationship. Now, there's another way to look at it, though. We can do that, and that would be somewhat appropriate in many cases. But we can also do something else to come under this relationship. We can raise others up, and we're under the relationship. We're submitting in that sense. We're raising them up. I'd like you to take that away today when you think about submitting, because I think this passage talks a lot about raising others up in the way we would have this attitude of submission that can be such a blessing to relationships, every relationship in your life. Think about it. Which relationship do you have in your life that you are so hesitant to do this with? Who is it? Think of a name. Might be the boss at work. It might be the person you live with in the house. It might be a kid. It might be, a parent. And you want to be right there. Boom, boom, boom. And no, the Bible says no. Well, what if you looked at that person and said, I'm going to raise them up. I'm submitting, but I'm raising their life up. I'm going to do whatever I can to help them to know how special they are, how awesome they are. In sincerity now, don't do flattery, right? We do things that are true about that person. And they are being lifted up, and we are submitting, in a sense, to them. Rank yourself lower by raising others up. Get it? Does that make sense? I think it has value, friends. And so think about that for a minute. Who in your life would that be of value to be able to do too, raising them up? Let's just go through this list a little bit here today. Look back on the back side of your notes again, and let's just walk through this. And let me just indicate to you a word or two. I circled some that I took away from this passage, okay? It's a big passage, so if you have a particular relationship that's on here, maybe it's a spousal relationship, or maybe it has to do with a kid, or maybe it has to do with you and your parent. They might be older, but God still says to honor our parents. And that's what's happening on Mother's Day, by the way, right? We're honoring moms, and it's right to do. In fact, it even carries a promise. Remember the promise? You'll live long life on the earth. As I get older, that precious life, is so important, much more important. So look at this. Wives, this means, how do we raise, how do you raise up your husbands? Let me look, have you go to the summary verse, verse 33. Look at what the summary verse says, wives. Again, I say, each man must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must, there's the key word, that's the word I circled, respect. This is generally true between men and women. Men need respect. We need respect. You can tell me you love me all day long, but if you disrespect me, there's distance, because that's my language of love. That's my relationship language. With any guy in your life, including boys in your life, if you respect them, men, here it is, guys, men need glory. I don't say that displacing the glory that is due only to God, but something in us guys need respect. We need a little honor. We need a little glory. And I'll tell you what, you can move a relationship way ahead. Ladies, if I'm just talking to you right now, if you give these men in your lives true, sincere respect or honor. Now look at this. Submit one other reverence for Christ. For husbands, this means love your wives. And I circled the second line there, gave up his life for her. Our example is Jesus. Jesus didn't come down demanding everything out of us, friends. He didn't. He submitted himself to us, to our need. He humiliated himself by coming to earth, taking the form of a person, a man. And then he went all the way to die for us. Not just, you know, this was a terrible death. This was the Roman crucifixion for criminals of the day. It didn't get any worse. He submitted. So I look at that as a husband. Woo! That's a lot to live up to. And I often don't do it very well. So husbands, there's a lot of scripture for the husband in here, by the way, compared to the wife, if you were just to look at, okay, what's God really leaning on here? Well, what, you know, guys, take notice, you know. What does this mean to love our wives? It's a big call there, and it's about submitting. This overall thing, this is how we submit, out of reverence for Christ, and not demand of our wives. Children, this means obey your parents. And for little ones, that's exactly what it means. Now, when you get out of the home, it's about honoring your parents, right? And that's what it goes on to say. Honor your father and mother, which can continue on until they're eventually gone. And then still we would honor them. And that's, so the word I circled was honor there. Fathers, this means do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Don't make them, get them to a place where they lose heart and they give up in life. And fathers, especially maybe some moms in here too, take this as if you want to. We can do that to our kids pretty easily. We're God to them in a way, till they get to a place where they can see that there's a higher being that they're accountable to. We're God to them, and we can make their lives pretty bad. We're authority structure, and we feel that, and we want them to mold them just right, and sometimes we can help them rebel against us. And so I put this discipline and instruction, and it's an idea of training, where they understand where we're coming from, and they see that as valuable. It's coming from the Lord, and they see that. So the way we treat them. Slaves, this means obey your earthly masters with deep respect and fear. Serve them sincerely as you would serve Christ. So I circled that one, sincerely as you would serve Christ. Try to please them. I circled that one. Pleasing our employers. Pleasing those who we're accountable to in our job environments is what God would say is really appropriate in building that relationship into the greatest relationship it could be. How can we do that? And not just when the boss isn't looking and we're on our own, we relax and don't work as hard. No. As you just be working for the Lord, put your boss and say, I want to work for you like I would be working if Jesus were in your place. I just want to honor you. And then the very last, masters, this means treat your slaves in the same way. That's with justice and fairness and as you would treat Jesus. Don't threaten them. Interesting. Pretty strong there. Remember, you both have the same master, and he has no favorites. Wow. So there's some incredible practical instruction, but I want us to leave with this idea of submission, to raise others up. In each of these cases, you can see how a dad is trying to raise the child up. The child is trying to raise the parents with honor. The husband is submitting to raise up his wife and put her on a pedestal in his life, like Jesus does with us as a bride to him. As a wife does in respecting the husband, in the things that are respectable and honoring him with that. Wow, these are the kind of things that God says. Go away with us, a new idea about submission from God and how valuable and important it is in our lives. We're going to have the opportunity to take communion momentarily. And just again, consider what God has done for us. It's an act of submission to our need to bring us back to Him and the great and amazing sacrifice of love in what He did on the cross. We're going to take communion as we would in a moment. But during this response time, we like to call it, where the band will come and share a song with us. There's also the card, the communication, or we call it connection card. We love getting those. If you'd be so kind as to turn one of those in each week, even if you're a regular, I know, yeah, we saw you, but if you turn that in, you don't have to write anything else on, just your name and the date, so we can make sure we have a good accounting. It helps us with those who aren't here. And, you know, we try to do the best we can to, you know, where is so-and-so today? Oh, no. And then we find out a week later, oh, they went through a traumatic time in their life, and we thought they were in church, we thought things were cool, and then we lost track. We don't want to do that, friends. I'm a pastor. I'm a shepherd. My desire is to make sure that every single person that's been connected to us is served well. And I know you'd like that, too. So turning in the cards helps us in that. And obviously, check down anything. Put down prayer requests. So enjoy praying for the needs that you might have in your life, okay? So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to have this wonderful song sung, and you can help yourself to communion. Everybody's welcome to that before we leave today. Oh, God, we do love you because you first loved us. We want to worship you because you are the highest being. You are the most high God, the Bible says. You're the God who has expressed over and over in as you've traveled with your people throughout the ages and as you've wanted the word about your love to go forth to every single corner of the world, to every single heart. Oh God, you care so deeply about the relationship that we would have with you, and also about those that we'd have with each other. Thank you for this passage this morning. Would you have it work in our hearts? Would you have it grow in us that we might just bring other people closer to your heart, that we might engage in the greatest relationships that we could have potentially? You want that. We know it. We trust that you'll continue to work in us your good work. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' holy name, amen.